From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever not cape wearing.
How did we forget this?
Ever the heartthrob,
you know,
of
Bob
After Dark. On vacation this week.
No, hold on here. Let's give the people a treat out there, Bob.
Well, what kind of treat do you got?
I'm going to walk in there. You'll tie my cape live on the air.
I'm going to tie. Okay, right. So I'm going to prolong this introduction. Let's make it quick. You can close my studio door, too, while you're at it. Forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark. Forever Oh, God, I'm running out of adjectives here as I tie this. Let's see if I can talk and tie at the same time. Forever the Bob After Dark. I feel like I'm getting you dressed for your wedding. Now, don't ask me to tie a tie, folks. I don't know how to do that, but I can tie a cape. Go figure. Look at this. This is true friendship. Now, go over on your side. All right. Forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark. The vampiric, the cape-wearing producer, my friend, my co-host, finally putting on his headset so I don't have to keep stalling for time.
There
Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, Bob. Hey, good. I'm glad we were able to fix that out and get everything settled with that. So, man, just out of breath walking from two sides of the studio. Here I am. But fantastic. Great to be here once again. Another thrilling episode of Bob After Dark. Let me see if I'm coming a little too hot. Let me turn myself down.
You are coming in a tad.
That's just
hot.
My breathing. I'm just
you're just out of breath trying to run and close some doors.
I'm doing everything here. But no, for sure. Another great episode on the way. I guess I shouldn't say that before the episode. I should say that after the episode just in case. But another great episode we have planned here on Bob After Dark. Well, you have planned. I know nothing.
You know,
but
something.
I know what you tell the folks out there at home, but besides that, not too much. But other than that, I'm ready to go. And, yeah, I think you got a question to ask me, don't you?
I have several questions for you.
Well, I mean,
For example, why is the Facebook not working?
It's working.
I know it's the stream's working, but I can't share anything.
I just shared it.
It's acting up.
They boot us out already?
I think we got booted, actually.
No, I just shared it to the page. So
okay, well, there's a problem with the sharing aspect, so I'm just going to click post and call it a day and see what happens.
I see it right there. I just shared it.
That works for me. All wow, right. The on my screen, our numbers are showing jumping between 81 and 11, like, simultaneously. Do you see that? All right, there's a problem.
All right, yeah, we got it.
Well,
but we're alive. We are alive.
Yeah, we are alive. Yeah. Count Panic, how have you been? We didn't see each other last week.
No, Bob, yes, that was right. We weren't here last week. We had some baseball in our place, but, you know, that tends to happen from time to time around these parts. But did well last week. Had a great weekend as well.
I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
We haven't talked. It's been a bit.
Yeah, no, and I went to, where did I go? I went to baseball game, Railcats baseball game over the weekend, so that was fun. Yes.
I saw the Jimmy Buffett
Buffett night.
The Jimmy Buffett tribute night.
Yes. He wasn't there. It was just a tribute night to Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, so there was no actual Jimmy Buffett performance, so you did not...
No.
You did not... Let me get my puns in. You did not get your cheeseburger in paradise.
No.
And you were not wasting away in Margaritaville.
Yes, neither of that. None of those things did occur, but I did have a great time. He was not there. We still had a great time regardless. And again, we here in the region love a little bit of Jimmy Buffett. Don't know. He's like the king of Florida. But
what is the fan base of Jimmy Buffett fans called? Are they the Parrots?
Parrot heads.
They're the Parrot heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you rub elbows with some Parrot heads over the weekend then?
Maybe a little bit of feather rubbing, you should say. A little feather. Yes, but
rustled some feathers.
But no, it was a great game, and they lost. Sadly, the Railcats did lose. But
who'd they play?
They played some other team, the Bob. I can only keep track of one of these teams at a time.
You know, Colin, it is now my life plan to own a minor league baseball team.
You know, they're fun to own.
The Bob After Darks.
Is that the name of the team?
That's the name of the team.
Purple and black uniforms?
Purple and black uniforms.
That sounds pretty spooky, Bob. Well, owning a minor league baseball team does sound like a lot of fun.
Ask me how much I know about baseball.
How much do you know about baseball?
I know little to nothing. I'm a paranormal investigator radio host. I don't do the sports ball. I ask me about ghosts. I can tell you about ghosts.
Ghost.
I don't know much about
sports. Well, sports is the one thing. Ghosts are another thing. But at the end of the day, they all bring people together, Bob.
Absolutely. You know, bigger news for me. So over this past weekend, we played catch up on some podcast uploads because just been dealing with some stuff lately, folks. So we were a little behind on podcast episodes. So I gave you guys all a special treat. There were two episodes uploaded this past week in podcast land. One was our episode from 2 weeks ago. And then this week, we had a special episode, which was a podcast-only exclusive. It was the story of the Cecil Hotel, starring myself co-hosting with Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly Podcast. So that spooky collaboration on the Hotel Cecil is now available wherever you listen to podcasts at, a podcast exclusive.
Yes, podcast exclusive, Bob.
Yes, and also, I applied for an in-person convention. I applied to two in-person conventions over the weekend.
Did you?
It's like going back to normal now. I had a little bit of anxiety filling out an application. I don't remember how to do it. I don't remember how to make myself sound good to get booked as a guest.
Yeah.
So that was pretty exciting.
It's like, what, riding a horse, they say?
So there's no, I normally I'd come on here and be like, hey, guys, we got some booking news for you, but I don't have any booking news for you. I just filled out some applications.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we'll find out soon if we get picked up for said conventions.
Fantastic. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, Count Panic, we got to talk about something.
Sure.
In regards to our live show, because tonight is the end of something.
The end of something?
The end of something.
Okay.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, okay. So WJOB, the station we're at, video side of things called Jed TV. So Jed TV, they're progressing forward. This situation at hand is they're trying to make a paywall, a subscription network. So stuff like the morning show or any shows you see throughout the day that it's not community programming, which means as paid studio time, I guess you could say, community programming right there, will go behind a subscription-based paywall. Now, that's $5.99 a month for the video. Now, I know what people are saying, $5.99. Maybe you don't have $5.99 to spend, and I get it. It's tough times. Maybe you will pay $5.99 to see Bob and Bob After Dark, but in case you don't, there are other options as well. First off, let me name the options here. If you're in the radius of Northwest Indiana, Chicagoland area, we got WJOB AM 1230, 104.7 FM. That's on the radio.
Yes.
Then we got the TuneIn app. It's an app you could download, and you listen anywhere throughout the world. It's a free app. You could listen in that way, a TuneIn app. The podcast, of course, the podcast is still free and out there for everybody. So, of course, maybe a few days later when Bob puts that podcast out, that's free for the public. You can listen to that way as well. It's just the video side of things right now going to be wrapped up behind a paywall. Again, it's $5.99 a month on Jet TV. If you want to sign up today and help support, we are grateful for that. But I get if you can't or if you don't have the money, you know, I'm not here to shake anybody down.
No.
But
and we're not.
No, we're not.
There's no shaking down going to happen.
No shaking down. But
what does this mean for the fans? So the podcast is not being affected. I need to stress that to the podcast fans because the podcast fans outnumber the people that tune in every week live and our radio audience. We don't have our actual demographic numbers for that. Our podcast fans that are listening to this right now, I might even add this out for them. The podcast is not going to be affected. It's still going to come out regularly. It'll be found wherever you listen to podcasts at. The podcast is still going to be powered by Memoriam Development.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's free.
That is free. You can still listen to the show live. You can still listen to the show live. Even if you're not from Northwest Indiana. That's something else I have to stress to the fans. Because
yes.
I have a lot of fans that are not from Northwest Indiana that look forward to watching the live show.
we could listen live with that TuneIn app.
With the TuneIn yes. app. And Count Panic will do a step-by-step process of how our fans can listen to us live. Because as was announced via the Bob After Dark page announcement last night on this, the chat box will still be open. Just on a
yes.
different website.
Jed TV, the chat box is open now. Again, that's a subscription. It's free, but, you know, it's tough. You're not watching. How
yes.
can you comment? I get that point as well. But there is a chat box on JedTV.com. If you do subscribe, you can feel free to chime in there. And, you know, for the non-subscribers as well, I'm sure there's a works in the process for you folks, too, that do listen on the TuneIn app. But, yeah, whether you do want to watch the video stream for $5.99 a month, we appreciate that. Or if not, radio, TuneIn app, podcast, many ways to listen.
Yes.
To. Yeah.
And, folks, this is another thing I want to stress to the fans of the show. I'm going to be working diligently to figure out ways to come to you all every week anyway. I'll be working on new outlets to interact with you on the weekly. The Facebook Live video show is, you know, that's going away for right now. But that doesn't mean the show goes away. That doesn't mean that the Bob After Dark entity goes away.
No.
It just means we have to do things a little differently for the moment. And we're going to take our news day by day, and this is going to be an adjustment for us. But you have to understand that media is being consumed on a whole nother playing level these days. And WJOB needs to kind of grow and develop as an entity too. So I am a part of the WJOB family, and because of that, I need to be a part of the process of helping cultivate this new project. I need to be a part of the process to kind of help them grow, so in return I will grow as well. I am not going to beg any of you for anything outside of the realm of what we're doing right now, which is you guys can still tune into the show. We're not going to get rid of that. Count Panic will have a step-by-step process for you guys to kind of still listen to the show. That's not going to be a problem. So for the moment, I understand, and we really appreciate to kind of have this, I don't want to say free finale. It's like this isn't the last episode by any means, folks.
No.
But this is just
I'll be back here next
this
week.
Is yeah, I'll be back here next Tuesday, but the finale for the free show, that is tonight. I mean, it is just the reality of the situation for the moment. And we're going to stick around, and if you guys have any questions about the process for the fans that watch live, don't hesitate to email bob@bobafterdark.com.
For sure. And again, that chat on JedTV.com, again, people are probably watching on Facebook, use that chat tonight. Then further going along here, that chat will be live. It's live now, but for the people that hop on there, we'll have that up and running.
But you will do a step-by-step for the fans, right?
Yeah,
so
we'll figure it out.
So, yes.
I got to figure it out myself first. But yes, when I figure it out, I will let you guys know when I
and
figure
guys,
it out.
And you guys, we're going to, trust me, this is coming soon. We're going to be launching a lot of new stuff, and I'm going to be, trust me, this isn't, this just is something a little different. You won't be able to see my face for the live show for a little bit. That's all.
But if you just subscribe, you can see Bob, too.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
But then, it's your decision at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
I'm not here to shake anybody down.
No, we're not. No. Neither one of us are going to shake any of you down.
There's no shaking.
There's no shaking going on.
No.
So, let's move on.
Sure.
Count Panic.
What's up, Bob?
Is this your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark?
First time, yes. First time, Bob. Why? What's it about?
All right. So Bob After Dark is a weekly show about the legends, lore, and supernatural. Things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird advances in science fiction. The weird advances in science that borderline on
yeah.
science fiction. It's just the weird and spooky. And we talk about haunted places. That's been a current running theme lately. We've done a lot of haunted episodes lately. So
yeah.
We'll change that up here soon. Because this week I'm doing another ghost story, but that's fine because it's a fun one. It's a weekly paranormal show, and Count Panic comes into it unresearched, unready to go, and I get to teach him while teaching the rest of you. Count Panic is the you audience. Count Panic represents the you.
The common folk out there.
The common folk out there that are going to
yes.
learn. And
hardworking
yes.
folk.
And it's kind of funny because aren't you like some kind of vampire? Shouldn't you know something about the paranormal supernatural world?
I have dabbled in it a little bit, yeah. Yeah. A little dabbling. Here and there. Yeah.
Well, we're happy to have you. So we divide the show up into two parts. First part of the show is the weird spooky news of the week. This is where I search the web, you search the web as fans, and send me articles relating to the paranormal. These are our news articles relating to weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Aliens making it to mainstream media, ghost stories making it to mainstream media, or just general overall weirdness. And then the second part of the story, the second part of the show, is where we talk about the lore of the week. That is where we dive into the meat and potatoes of the episode, if you will.
The meat and potatoes.
I'm a vegetarian, so just potatoes for
the
me.
The cheese and potatoes.
You just dive right into the cheesy potatoes.
The broccoli and potatoes.
Yes.
Sure. Let's dive right into it, then. Or do we, is there more housekeeping we got to take care of? I keep forgetting.
What's that?
Is there more housekeeping we got to get to? We're good, I think. We're good. I think we mentioned everything.
Yes. Yeah. All right. You want to just dive into the spooky news of the week?
Let's dive into it.
You know, there's a certain individual in the world of the paranormal I need to give ample credit to, and that's because this certain individual makes my job infinitely easier and also makes me a little lazier in the process, too, because they always do such a really good job, and that is Tim Banal, writer for Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast, if you don't know, is a paranormal extraterrestrial news show that goes on every night and has been running for a very, very long time. The mothership, if you will, of all paranormal programming.
Yeah.
Big deal. But Coast to Coast shares these news articles, you know, every day just about. And you got something.
And?
Oh, I was going to say, the Tim Banal.
Well, yes.
Right in.
But also, if you get the tuning
app. Wait, Tim Banal wrote in?
No.
Oh, my God. Why do you hate me?
Hold on. Wait one second. Let me say something. Okay. But if you get the TuneIn app, too, as well, you can listen to Coast as well at midnight. So stick around for that at 12 midnight Central Time, of course. But that was what I was going to say. Also, the TuneIn app is good for listening to Coast to Coast. You can listen Coast to Coast anywhere throughout Coast to Coast with that TuneIn app, Bob. But sorry to derail the story. What was the news story there? Here's what that news story.
Yes. So thank you, Tim. Let's just move on. So Coast to Coast AM, Tim Banal writes this news article about a mysterious stone find sets off a diamond rush in South Africa. A village in South Africa has become a site of a veritable diamond rush as thousands of people have descended upon the location following the discovery of mysterious crystal-like stones that many are hoping could be precious gems. The excitement reportedly began last week in the community of, oh boy, Kwahalathi.
Not bad.
K-W-A-H-L-A-T-H-I. When a cattle herder plunked up some curious objects from the ground. As word on the discovery spread, other residents began digging at the site, and they also found potential diamonds in the dirt, which set off a full-blown frenzy in the region. Not long after that, a massive throng of people journeyed to the village armed with shovels, pickaxes, and the dreams of striking it rich. Although authorities have cautioned that these stones are probably not diamonds, their words of warning have not done little to quell the commotion nor lower the expectations for those who have flocked to the fields in search for a buried treasure. They are real, declared one woman who recovered some of the rocks. I'm going to buy a car, a house, send my kids to private school. The financial hardship, which makes the prospect of unearthing diamonds something of a miraculous possibility to those who have been digging in the field. To that end, another individual looking for the stones mused, we are poor, we are unemployed. This could change everything. In an effort to determine the nature of the rocks removed from the field, no doubt put an end to the diamond rush, the South African government has dispatched a team of experts to the village to examine the stones. One potentially development from the analysis, which has already suggested to scientists, it will likely reveal, rather than diamonds, the objects are actually just quartz deposits, which are far less valuable and sadly will not provide the financial salvation that the treasure hunters hoped that they found.
Really? Over diamonds there.
They thought they found diamonds, these mysterious looking stones, and it turned out to maybe just be quartz. But I have a message, and that is to never stop dreaming and never stop pursuing what you need to get done in the world. And to these people for doing the best they can and trying to find these diamonds, and I hope that the scientists are wrong. I hope they're diamonds for all of this village's sake, for doing all of this hard work and trying to get things figured out and trying to make a better of a situation that's probably not so good. I give them all the more credit in the world. The world needs people like that who are dreaming and trying to do the best they can to make the world, make their situation in a better one. So good job to you, villagers of that village of Quahalathi. I hope for the best for you guys. I hope those turn out to be diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, that's a go hashtag. Okay. Hashtag panic stick.
No, for sure. I agree with what you said right there. But, you know, I feel like that happens more time and often. You're out there digging and you find something. You think it's worth something. You think it's a diamond. You see people out there with their metal detectors, and it just ends up being a whole lot of nothing. But sometimes, in the rare occurrence, it is something special. It is something unique. It is something worth a lot of money. And that's why you keep trying, as you said, Bob. Get out there and keep digging. Just keep digging.
Keep digging.
Keep digging.
Keep having a hope and a dream, folks.
There you go.
Sometimes a hope and a dream is all you got in the end of the day, right?
Sometimes a dream is a small thing that turns into a big thing. And I don't know where I'm going with that. But you know what I'm trying to say, Bob. I'm trying to be inspirational here. But yeah, keep dreaming. Dream on.
Dream on.
As a I think...
Aerosmith used good to job, say that.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. I had to think about that one. What's up next, Bob?
Okay, Count Panic. I have a news story that's not from the world of Coast to Coast, but instead from Newsweek.
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 Okay.
This is more of a video, but I'm going to talk about the story. And this is a video of a supernatural creature walking on a bridge leaves viewers puzzled. This is written by Soo Kim at Newsweek. A video of a strange white figure walking on a bridge in eastern India has caused a stir on social media. Users have questioned the origins of the supernatural creature, with some claiming it could be an alien or a ghost. The creature was allegedly spotted Saturday walking at night on the bridge near the Chadwa Dam in the Hazarbara district of the India state of Jharkhand. Arvind Kahahan, a journalist of the Times of India, tweeted Saturday a video alongside the post of a video where an alien or a supernatural creature spotted in the area. Several passerby in the video reported commented the figure calling it a witch, Golf Today reported. In the video, some vehicles were seen pausing near the creature, while others just drove right past it. The figure appeared to briefly stop in its tracks at one point before it continued walking, according to the footage reported by local officials. So that's the story, Count Panic.
Wait a second. Clear that up for me once time.
Okay.
Clear that up for me a little bit there.
I'm sorry?
Clear that up for me a little bit there.
Well, what do you need me to do?
Well, the ending there. Well,
all right, so there's this creature.
Yeah, yeah.
That was lurking around in India.
Got that.
It's a white figure
mm-hmm.
that was caught on camera. Some people stopped and saw the video footage. And as the drivers drove by, they stopped and stared at it. Others just kept driving right by it.
Okay.
And people were yelling that it was some sort of, I guess in their mother tongue, some sort of witch entity.
And it could be possibly one as well. So, Bob, you're probably going to ask my opinion on this and what I think
it is. Well, that is. I'm going to be sending you it over right now. Okay. Because I thought I sent this over and I couldn't.
So, this entity you're talking about, it's a figure in white. It's roaming around.
It's roaming around this bridge area. And it is causing quite the stir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and that's the thing. I think I would cause me quite a stir as well, Bob, if I saw that walking around. But, you know, you just got to sometimes take a deep look at what
I'm
you're...
having some trouble getting the video to load.
That's
so
fine.
I'll have that posted on the Children
we'll
of the
post
Night
on the page there.
So
but
you guys can check that out.
I'm just telling you, Bob, sometimes you got to stare deeply into what you think you see and realize it may be nothing at all. But, you know, until I see the actual video, I'm going to go with the people here and saying that it is real. I'm going to side with the believers here, Bob. I'm going to side with the believers.
You a believer?
I'm gonna
I
side
could never
them.
Imagined.
I'm going to side with them here.
You're
sometimes
side with
I don't side with them. Sometimes you don't side with them as well. But I'm going to side with them here right now, Bob. They have my full attention. So there's that.
I watched the footage, and it's
what did you think?
It's strange. One of the fans sent that in. Whitney wrote in from a longtime fan. She sends us a lot of news articles. She sent that to me. And she's like, what do you think? And I said, well, it's oddly strange.
Yeah.
I watched a video, and I was like, man, I wonder what that could be. So I don't know. It's definitely an odd bit of footage, I will say that.
No, for sure.
You know, as the years go on in 2021 and past 2020, which was the awful year that we all survived, you know, just common occurrences these days. Some sort of weird white-walking creature in the middle of India. Some tourist, motorists didn't even give it mind. They're just like, you know what? Par for the course. Going to keep driving. And that, I feel like, would be my response these days. If I saw some sort of walking supernatural entity, I mean, I'd pull over. But I'd be like, par for the course. It's 2021. We're following the year 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. That's the good way to look at it, Bob. You got to follow the year 2021 right there.
Absolutely.
And step into the future, Bob. But
right.
Well, video something. Is it a grainy video?
It's definitely.
It's
a found footage.
Well, then it's fake. I'll side with the non-believers now.
Count panic.
Grainy footage is hard to tell, Bob.
Every paranormal video, there's some good ones, but for the most part, it's why you have an old adage, the blurry photos. Do we have a caller already? Well, we'll take it live. Just take it live.
Yes, Bob. Yes, we have Pat on the line.
Pat. As in ghostly podcast Pat?
Who else am I talking about, Bob? Yes.
Pat?
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Pat, this is a nice surprise. Oh, hey there.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
How are you?
I know why your video is not loading up as your tech guy.
Oh, absolutely. What's going on?
It is a huge microclimate.
Ah, I see. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's just a one big microclimate in the WJOB studios today.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
What's going on with you, Pat? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Not much, man. Just doing my show, you know, talking about microclimates. That's about it.
You know, actually, Pat, since I got you on the podcast, I was going to talk about this at the break. But I actually just made an appearance on Ghostly Podcast from the past episode.
Oh, yes, you did.
You want to
talk a little bit
about that?
Yeah. So we talked about Robert the Doll.
Oh, boy.
And I know you did an episode on Robert the Doll.
I certainly did.
You asked permission first, and I did not.
And what happened? I got a message from you saying you got the heartburns.
Yeah, I have heartburn. I take Nexium for it. I took my Nexium, but I had worse heartburn that night. And then the next day, a crow came to my back window and started knocking on the window.
Well, that's completely off-putting.
Yeah. It's definitely microclimates.
Did you let the crow in, Pat?
No, I did not let the crow in.
What'd you do? Did you shoo it away?
I closed the blinds.
Pat treated that crow as if it was some sort of, like, traveling vacuum salesperson.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like,
I,
nope,
close the blinds. I didn't want to buy a Hoover vacuum. So.
It's like, you know what, crow? Don't want to buy any of your strange premonitions. I'm just going to close the blinds.
Yeah, I don't need any of your snake oil.
I don't want to spoil too much about the episode for the fans because I want them to go over and check the episode out because it's really good, guys. You need to go check out the Robert the Doll episode because, A, I'm on it, and, B, it's ghostly, so you know it's going to be good. But quick summary, what do you think of the Robert the Doll story? Do you buy into it at all? Probably not because I know you, but...
No, I don't buy into it at all. I think it's all just a bunch of, you know, malarkey.
As every paranormal story Pat's got is all malarkey. All time.
Except for UFOs. UFOs are legit.
I'm happy to hear that, Pat. Beam me up, Scotty, if you will.
Yeah, there's no intelligent life down here.
Yeah, I'm done. Send me back.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good show.
Oh, you too, Pat. Thank you for calling in.
All right, bye.
Bye.
There you have it, Bob.
That was a nice surprise.
Yeah. Now, that's why your video's not working.
Yeah, microclimates. Yeah. Pat's the expert on the microclimate.
He would know.
You know, folks, you can be like Pat and call into the show, 219-845-1100. If you have a comment about any of the things we're talking about this evening, if you have a paranormal story, or if you just want to call and say hi, phone number is 219-845-1100. And if you're listening in podcast land, you can actually call while we're recording live on the Tuesdays, and you can hear yourself ready for the podcast episode.
That's confusing, though.
But okay, so the podcast lives on, yeah, right? I can go back and listen to an episode from last September anytime, right?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
You see, you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Yes,
you could call in, and be like, oh, I want to hear my voice. I want to be forever cemented. What's that phone number one more time?
Yeah, 219-845-1100. Again, 219-845-1100.
You can call right now. Put Count Panic to work.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for the last news article, Count Panic?
Yeah, what is it?
All right, this one comes to us from, surprise, Coast to Coast.
Nice.
And this one's actually breaking news. A Massachusetts diver escapes the Jonah and the whale situation. Remember the story of Jonah and the whales? An old biblical story, if you will, about a man and a whale and a certain wooden puppet story from the Disney World actually kind of... took precedence from the Jonah and the whale story. Guy lives in the belly of the whale.
Yeah.
Right? I was referring to Pinocchio,
of
right?
Of course, I remember
Geppetto, you know, lived in. But anyway, moving on. So, a commercial lobster diving is a dangerous job. But Michael Packard had probably never considered whales to be much of a threat. After nearly a humpback reportedly made a terrifying mistake last Friday, however, the father of two now has an unexpected occupational hazard to add to this list. While on a morning dive for a lobster near Herring Cove Beach, Massachusetts, Packard said he felt himself suddenly being squeezed and propelled underwater by something very large and strong. Totally engulfed by darkness a moment later, he at first believed that he'd been attacked by a great white shark, but soon realized that his captor was a whale, which is not known to intentionally endanger humans. After tossing Packard around in its mouth for a few seconds, the whale surfaced and threw him back into the ocean near his fishing boat, whose crew pulled him aboard and called for the onshore medical attention. Packard was released to the hospital with no major injuries, and despite the fact that he believed he was going to die in the incident, he stated that the scary encounter won't deter him at all from getting back to his lobster diving once he's fully recovered. Hashtag panic steak.
That's terrifying. That's why you don't go into the sea there, Bob. You never know.
Never go in the water. No. Never go in the water.
And, you know, think about that, though. Think about the whole whale story. And think about how often that could occur. Kind of sidetracking here.
No, you're fine.
I'm sure that occurs more often than we think, people getting swallowed by whales and just living in the belly of a whale. I'm sure that happens more often than we think out there. And they just go missing because they're in the belly of a whale. It makes you think. A lot of missing people out there. Some may be in a whale right now, so you never know. But, Bob, I'm not one for maybe going to the lake. I'm not one for going to the ocean. Swimming
no ocean
pools.
For you.
I like swimming pools, Bob.
There's no whales in a swimming
Nothing
pool.
Nothing bad could happen to you in a swimming pool. Nothing could get you in a swimming pool.
If I may.
What?
There is an antidote to the story because I was actually just talking about it. There is a film called Leonard Part 6.
Okay.
You ever seen Leonard Part 6?
I know. I can't say I watched it all the way.
Okay. Long story short, the villain in Leonard Part 6, actually the whole plot to the film was the villain in Leonard Part 6 was mind-controlling piranhas to swim through sewer systems and go and attack people in their swimming pools.
Hmm.
So you can't even be safe in swimming pools. No, I don't know where that side story was going. I mean, there was a purpose to it, I promise you, but I wanted to share that.
Okay. But for the most part, swimming pools, there's no creatures lurking in the bottom of a swimming pool. So, again, and I don't mean to be picky here, heated pools, preferably a heated pool, but now I'm just being choosy. But
You can't be choosy.
Good stuff, Bob. Some good news stories this week, Bob. Good news stories.
You know, Count Panic, before we move on, before we move on, we have a review.
We have a review.
And it's fun because this review hasn't even been posted yet. This jumping into the future, I guess. I had a fan actually write in right before the show and said, hey, I finally was able to come up with a fun title for your podcast review. He's like, I've been waiting to do this for a while. So I'm reading it from my phone, and they sent me this text, okay? And it's a five-star review.
Yeah.
And its title is, A Podcast As Illumining As the Mothman Statue Freshly Buff Shiny Heiny. Would you like me to reread that?
Yes.
A Podcast As Illuminating As the Mothman Statue's Freshly Buffed Shiny Heiny.
There you go. Okay. I get it now.
I'll explain in a moment. This podcast is a bit of a buffer for supernatural lovers. Myth, legend, lore, and supernatural. Each week is a new dive into a new topic from the world of weird, wacky, strange, and spooky. Bob is a fantastic host whose knowledge of topics is only eclipsed by his knowledge for the best places to get deep dish pizza. I know this as a personal fact. Count Panic is the perfect co-host to this dream team of supernatural explorers.
That's nice.
Love this podcast. Five-star review. I don't know their username. I just know the fan's name is Josh.
All right.
So, to you, Josh, we raise a cup to you on the show on this day of June 15th, 2021, and we say thank you, Josh, for that lovely five-star review. Do you have something to toast?
I do. Yeah.
To you, Josh, thank you so much for the five-star review, and here's a toast to you. Thank you very much.
Yes, to you, Josh. Thank you very much as well.
You know, real quick, I just wanted to talk real fast about this, about the topic, about the episode, the review topic title, and that is in West Point, West Virginia. I can't even talk. The sightings of the Mothman case. There happens to be a metallic statue of the Mothman, which is, you know, Mecca for me. I've always wanted to go. I'm going to go see it. I plan on actually doing Mothman Festival next year. So put a pin in it. Mothman Festival 2022. Mm-hmm. However, but in the statue has a, oh boy, how do I describe this? A very meme-worthy imagery, right? So the Mothman statue is gorgeous. It's really elaborate, really wonderful until you walk behind it. And Mothman has a, oh, Count Panic, how do I say this appropriately on air? It's got a posterior.
Oh, yes.
Of well-defined posterior.
I believe you mentioned that.
And our fan, Josh, actually went to West Point. I keep saying West Point. Point Pleasant, West Virginia last year during the time when the Mothman Festival was canceled. And he actually went and took pictures with the Mothman statue with the Bob After Dark logo. And there's this really cool picture of the Bob After Dark logo being held by the Mothman statue. We have a caller.
We do.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to put them on, okay?
Okay. You're on the air, listener.
Good evening. Oh. Good evening, Bob.
Guys, it's Children Night. It's Count Dracula.
Yes, it's I, Count Dracula, calling you live from Mara's Cheese Castle, my summer home.
I didn't know he had a summer home.
I can't even keep my composure. Drac, if I could call you Drac, we're friends at this point. Folks, I just
Indeed.
Want you to know this is not a bit. I don't set this up. This is legitimately my reaction every time Drac here calls in. What you doing at the Cheese Castle there, Count? Are you enjoying your summer vacation?
Indeed I am. I'm having so much fun. I've been taking cooking classes, making very interesting new food and with interesting new animals, and also I've been taking dance classes. I just learned how to twerk.
You learned how to twerk?
Yes! And it's absolutely stupid. You just move your butt up and down. I don't know why people think that's cool. I do not get it. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's fair, Count. That's fair. I appreciate the gesture, though. What are you learning how to cook? I heard you're taking some cooking classes.
Yes, I've been learning to cook with, there's this mythical creature in northern Wisconsin. I don't know if you've heard this. It's called the Hodag.
The Hodag. I'm familiar with the Hodag stories, yes.
Yeah, I've been learning how to cook with that.
With the Hodag, like you two are doing a cooking show, or are you cooking with, like, Hodag meat?
Hodag meat, but I haven't caught one yet.
Ba-dump. Was there a punchline to that, Cal? Because I might have missed it, but...
No, that was just a sad story.
Fair enough. We're looking forward to trying your Hodag meat there, Cal.
If I can find one. Some people say they don't exist, but who knows?
Who knows?
People say I don't exist.
Here you are. You're calling the show and causing me some tears. Now, Count Dracula, while I got you on the phone, because I'm trying to keep my composure because it's really hard to do, and you always call at the right time. Because I have to go to break
it.
I need to hear a punchline because your punchlines are always so, so wonderful.
Oh, you want to hear a story?
Yeah, I'd love to hear your story, yes.
Okay. I do have one in mind.
Okay.
Okay. This one is not about a vampire, but about a zombie. It's about a zombie.
Okay.
Okay. A zombie was roaming through the woods looking for something to eat. He came across two men. One was sitting under a tree and reading a book. The other was typing away on his typewriter. The zombie quickly pounced on the man reading the book and started to devour him. Because even a brain-dead zombie knows that readers digest and writers cramp.
But
yes. And actually, I have something else for you.
Oh, yes. What do you got for
something
me,
Something new. Okay. I have a top 10 list.
Okay, Dad, listen.
He's got material.
He got material. I'm ready for it.
I got more material, yes.
You can just keep going. It's fine.
Yes, yes. Okay, this is the top 10 commercial casket models.
Okay? Okay.
Number 10, the Dirt Master.
Uh-huh.
Number 9, Tupper Tomb. Number 8, Crazy Casket from Wham-O. Number 7, the Slim Reaper. Number 6, the 19th hole for you golf enthusiasts. Number 5, the McCulfin Styrofoam Casket for you cheapos. Number 4, the Comfort King Velvet Liner. Number 3, Cabin Crypt. Number 2, the Cardboard Warrior, another cheaper one. And the number 1 commercial casket model, the Lazy Boy Eternal Lounger.
Thanks for calling a trail.
You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You okay. Too.
Wow. There he goes. Look at that.
Listen. I'm not.
Now, we have no clue who that is.
We
know it's Dracula, but we don't know.
These tears are legitimately true. Mm. The laughter is legitimately true.
Very rare appearance.
He calls in sporadically. Yeah. I think whenever Dracula's up to something, he'll call in. I have no idea who this is, but Dracula will call in and just, I can't stop laughing. It's every time. I saw it on your face. I'm like, I wonder who's calling in. And I was waiting for you.
I can't introduce him. He's a man that needs no introduction.
Oh, my God.
Bring him right on.
I have no words. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Count Dracula, for calling in. I appreciate that. Remember, folks, our phone lines are open, 219-845-1100. That is 219-845-1100. You folks can call in at any time if you have any spooky puns. I would love to hear your spooky puns. That made my night. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Count, you ready for a quick break?
Yeah, sure.
All right, to our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast audience, stay tuned because you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host Nick Floyd every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You know, the awkward thing about that cutaway is I forgot that, like, I was staring at my monitor, and I'm like, man, is he going to cut away? And I forgot, like, my monitor is a constant stream of me.
Yeah, I put a graphic up.
Yeah, I see that now, but I didn't see that. I was like, man, I'm just going to awkwardly stand here like this. And I was like,
that's always a live feed.
Yeah. But anyway, what'd you do during break, Count?
During break, Bob? Well, you know, during break, I took a chance.
You took
got out of my comfort zone. I went into the ocean.
How'd it go?
I didn't like what I saw down there, so I got back.
What'd
up
you see?
I saw whales. I saw sharks. I saw stingrays, jellyfish, dolphins.
Dolphins are cool.
All those things at once coming at me, charging at me. I was like, this is not for me. I'm going back to the studio. But that's what I did.
We don't have anything charging at us here. Just
no.
Just Count Dracula calling to.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah.
All the more better.
How about you, Bob? What did you do?
You know, Count Panic, I actually did the opposite. I was actually getting ready to do some skydiving lessons because I want to start rappelling. I want to learn how to rappel down a rope.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I think the first step is for me to learn how to be able to jump. So I want to start learning how to rappel.
That is a good first step, Bob, yes.
I'm glad that was a good bit. I'm glad we have that bit together, Count.
People like it, I think.
People love the bits, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we regrouped ourselves, Bob. Ready to roll for the second half? Because I know I'm ready, Bob.
Okay. Now, Count Panic, it is nearly summertime. The weather outside is nasty. And if there's one thing in the universe I hate, it's the heat. I am not a fan of the bitter cold, but I'm not a fan of sweating either. My philosophy always was, if I'm cold, I can put some extra layers on.
Yeah.
If I'm hot,
it's tough.
It's tough because I'm portly, if you will, a sentient sack of potatoes. I have a there's a little extra bob, right? I'm a big guy, and heat and big guys do not mix very well. So I have to do whatever I can to get, you know, cool. However, during the summer months, a lot of people like to do what's called a vacation. That is where they get to go out into the world and go experience some sort of summer vacation extravaganza, whether that be they can go over to the fine world of Disney World or Disneyland, if that's your cup of tea, or Six Flags, or just going to fill in the blank. I don't know. Where do you like to vacation to, Count Panic?
Well, you know, somewhere with the less sun, the better for me, Bob. You know, vampires don't like to be out.
So Antarctica.
Sure, yeah. That's where they all hang out. That's where the relatives hang out. That's where I shall go.
Yes.
Or, you know, a count at the Mars Cheese Castle there. Maybe I'll have to take a trip to the summer home. I didn't know he had a summer home at the Mars Cheese Castle.
Yep, the Mars Cheese Castle.
Check that out.
Yeah, it's a magical place.
It is, yeah.
But anyway, one of these things that somebody usually will do during the summer months, if you will, is take these vacations, and one of them might be an amusement park, right?
Of course.
And for all of you that might be watching that didn't pay attention to the title of this episode, no, I will not be talking about the Ghost of Disney World and Disneyland. That was an episode that Steve and I did back in podcast exclusive land. That was probably, I don't remember, reps, the number offhand, probably in the 40s. Maybe Cal Panic could look that up while I'm doing my intro monologue.
Well, I wasn't around for that one.
No, you weren't. That was podcast only back during pandemic when I wasn't allowed in WJOB studios.
Yeah, and I wasn't allowed out of my coffin.
No, you weren't. You just stayed in your coffin. But anyway, there's an episode about the haunting full world of Disney, and you can check that out in podcast land. And that's co-hosted by Steve. So we're not talking about that. What I'm talking about this time is more of the, I don't want to say hokier amusement parks, but that level of different, right? It's not themed after something majorly big. It's not like a major attraction. It's like I get off the side of the road and this is where I go, or maybe it's big for that certain area. It's kind of like Indiana Beach. Indiana Beach is a big draw for a specific demographic of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for a ghost story involving a amusement park, and I happened to find one, thanks to our old pal.
You want to say his name?
I feel like it's like Beetlejuice. If I say his name three times, he'll actually make an appearance in front of me and try to, like, punch me in the face or something. But our old pal, Zach Bagans.
Of course, you would buy something.
Well, Zach did an episode on this place called the Enchanted Forest, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the Enchanted Forest Amusement Park in Salem, Oregon. A really strange kind of otherworldly, very, very, very just interesting place. And the best place to start is the history.
All right, I agree.
So this is what the history bit here comes to us straight from the website Enchanted Forest in their history section. Roger Toft, born 1930 in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, moved to Estonia, Oregon when he was 5 years old. In his junior year of high school, he moved to Silverton, Oregon, where he graduated from Silverton High School. Roger then spent time in the Navy during the Korean War. After the war, he married Mavis Bjork in 1954, and he had a little jewelry store in about a year in Washington. Making no money in the jewelry business, and with the birth of his first child, Roger took a steady job with the Oregon State Highway Department as a draftsman and an artist. 10 years later, in the 60s, Roger, now the father of four young children, realized that there was very little for a family to see and do in Salem. He formulated the idea for a theme park where he could use his creative talents, and though he had very little time or money to make his dream a reality, he persisted anyway. He purchased the original 20 acres of land off of Interstate 5 for $4,000 in monthly payments of $50 and began construction in 1964, one bag of cement at a time. He repaired watches in his spare time to help finance his project, and he worked at building a park after work on the weekends. The Tufts' own backyard became filled with storybook figures and small buildings, as Roger had also used every spare second of the home to work on his dream. Everyone but Roger thought it was foolish to think this idea would work. Roger's friends and co-workers used to tease him about his work on, quote, Idiot Hill. That also seemed to be the bank's idea. Close to opening, Roger and Mavis needed $2,000 to put the last bit of touches on the park to be able to open, but he ran out of his very last dime. Their own bank wouldn't even loan them the money because, of course, the Toft family didn't have any cash. Only one bank took the chance on them and loaned them the money. Roger originally thought that it'd only take 2 years to build Storybook Trail, which was the first of the section he needed to complete the park before it could open. Finally, after 7 years, at 2 p.m. on the Sunday, August 8th, 1971, Roger and his wife Mavis hung a piece of butcher paper saying "Open" on the fence for the first visitors to enter the park. Admission back then, can you take a guess how much it was to go to this this theme park?
Ooh, a dollar? Was it only a dollar?
Admission was $1 for adults and 50 cents for children.
Not bad.
And if you wanted a job there, the starting wage was $1.65 per hour, 5 cents above minimum wage.
Nice.
And there were 75 people who showed up and 1,000 people the next Sunday. And Roger's dream was finally a reality when Roger was the creative force and Mavis was the business hand. Roger quit his job at the State Highway Department after Enchanted Forest's second season in 1973 when he was sure it would be able to support himself and his family. Mavis ran the business until, unfortunately, diagnosed with cancer and passed the day-to-day operations running the business to daughters Susan and Mary when they were young adults. Mavis, though not active in business anymore, has written several books about the Enchanted Forest and is still a busy writer. Through the years, Roger and his family have been adding his dream to new additions to the park. The Toffville Western Village was built the second year, and the Haunted House opened in 1974. The Comedy Theater was built for daughter Susan, who writes and directs outrageous musical comedies based on fairy tales. The Ice Mountain Bobsled Roller Coaster was originally designed in 1983 as a roller coaster that floated along a 24-inch wide fiberglass track, but redesigned 2 years later to be the Ascot design when the original design proved too difficult to get visitors fast enough through. I promise, folks, we're getting to the good stuff. Following Ice Mountain, construction began on the old European village when the Jolly Roger Waterlight Show in 1988. Now Roger Tuft, still the ringleader of the Enchanted Forest, has successfully incorporated three of his children into the business, Mary, Susan, and Ken. According to Susan, this arrangement has worked out quite well. We're very lucky. We got along because we're each in charge of different projects and our areas don't overlap much. We work very well together. Excuse me. So, what we're getting at here is this guy's dream to open up some sort of amusement park, some sort of an attraction for tourists to go to, and a place that really put this concept of Salem, Oregon on a map.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not based on any intellectual property per se. These ideas were all his. He drew these things up. And so instead of having, you know, entire parks based on the Disney license, we had different things based on other stuff.
No, it makes sense. You know, and not everything needs to be overcomplicated with the Disney aspect of things. Sometimes those homegrown, even though Disney was homegrown at one point, those off the road amusement parks, sometimes those are the best amusement parks, Bob. You like going to that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the last thing I wanted to talk about was the Challenge of Mondor and Beyond. New to the Enchanted Forest for the 2006 season was the Challenge of Mondor, a beautiful, slow-moving adventure ride. Mondor the Wizard sends riders on a quest through the forest, caves, and castles to save the happy little drumlins. Riders use infrared guns to shoot at the creatures and dragons, the Black Drago, under the control of the evil King Zardon. Cars keep riders' individual scores at the top of the scores. They receive a medallion. Top scorers of all time get their name engraved on a plaque at the Mondor entrance. That is important because we're going to be talking about the ghostly sightings at the Challenge of Mondor. But first, we have a caller.
Yes, we have John on the line. John.
John, you were calling in late. I thought you forgot about me.
Oh, I would never do that, Bob. How are you tonight?
Oh, not too bad, John. I'm glad you called at a good time because I'm going to ask Count Panic to mute my microphone so I could sneeze real quick.
You're
going to
sneeze, Bob? Okay,
out.
1 second here.
John, John, what's going on?
Go ahead and sneeze. You got to sneeze? Go ahead.
He's sneezing right now, so give him time to sneeze. I should probably turn the camera off. You're good? All right. Here, he's back on now.
Oof, that was rough. I've been holding that in for the entire history park.
Hey, listen, God bless you, okay?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, John.
Hey, I don't really have anything to say about the paranormal world tonight, but you mentioned Indiana Beach and amusement park. So what is Bob, after dark's interest is roller coasters and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely not, John. I like the concept of a good tourist attraction. It's a fun thing for me, but I am my stomach, I don't think it handled those twists and turns. When I was a young lad, I was a thrill seeker, really enjoyed roller coasters. These days, I much prefer the haunted houses, like the really hokey haunted houses, or the fair food, or the couple of beers, or maybe something simple, but riding rides, I don't know.
Indiana Beach got all that there. And I mean, Count Pan is kind of knowledgeable.
Yeah, Bob, you could have a good time.
Listen, I've spent many a time in Indiana Beach growing up. It's not my, I spent a lot of time down there as a child.
Well, you know, it's made a pretty big comeback.
Listen, it's on my short list of places I'd like to go and see. It's I haven't been in a very long time, so I'm excited to go and see it.
They had a Ghostbuster night the other night.
I did. I had some friends from the Circle City Ghostbusters make an appearance.
Yeah, matter of fact, Chuck Poland is pretty good friends with the owner, I guess. Ain't it, Count?
Yeah, you know, Chuck has been working on some documentary stuff with the new owner there, but Bob, he's reviving the park. I don't know if there's any history of it being haunted. Maybe Chuck would know about this, but, you know, because this has a past history as well. It was a lot of things went down over there, but
absolutely,
you never know, Bob. You never know. It could be haunted.
Well, you know, Bob, you invited me to a few things, so maybe one of these days we could all get together and just go to Indiana Beach.
I would thoroughly enjoy a Bob After Dark outing, John. The question is, can you play Fascination, John? Because that was my game. I love that on the boardwalk.
Fascination?
Yeah, it's the game where you roll the ball down the wooden plank.
Ski ball?
No, man, it's called Fascination. You roll the ball down the little lane.
They probably still got that.
Chuck says it's there.
It's there? Okay.
I got to be honest with you. I never heard of that, so that's a new one on me.
All right, and then we're going to do the Haunted House because the Haunted House is classic in Indiana Beach.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're going to have to get together, all of us.
Sounds good, John. I appreciate that. Thanks for giving me a
smile.
Bob.
Have a nice evening.
Absolutely. You have a good one.
So Indiana Beach does have the haunted house. Now, is it a rule now every time you have a theme park, you have to have the like a haunted mansion type deal?
I feel like that's part of the allure, right? And the haunted house at Enchanted Forest is just that. Plus, they have this like adventure ride that's, you know, got like a light gun and you shoot dragons with it, right? Much not different than like the Buzz Lightyear ride at Disney World or the So it's a concept. However, there is a dark side to the Enchanted Forest.
Okay.
And I'm going to be reading this from theculturetrip.com. During Ghost Adventures, the team chatted, and Ghost Adventures is Zach's show, and this is talking about Zach's investigation at the amusement park in Oregon. God, I can't even talk. I'm sorry, folks. During Ghost Adventures, the team chatted with Ashley Tuff, the park managers, and Roger Tuff's grandson. Though she's never personally had any experience with the main supernatural phenomena in the park, Tuff admitted that the attraction made her feel anxious and overwhelmed, and we're referring to the haunted house. There is always these stories that there actually might be a ghost in the haunted house. She took the team on a walkthrough of the old house filled with handcrafted props that would make your skin crawl, and Baggins discovered a cold spot that could be attributed to the otherworldly presence. She says, it was a very strange but amazing experience, Ashley said. The showrunners of Ghost Adventures was also interviewed. The challenge of the motor ride operator, Chris Dunn, who had an inexplicable encounter one morning in 2016 when prepping the Wizard Beam target shooting attraction for the day. He explained how he heard footsteps behind him, no one was there. 5 seconds later, it's like I got hit with this energy right through me, he said. It made me feel really dizzy and I just got the chills. Later in the day, the same thing happened with more intensity. So he took some photos of the ride not in operation and caused some images of what looks like an orb that changes shape in 3 different photos. The Ghost Adventures team spent the night at the park and experienced some of these things for themselves. From feeling a creepy, chilling energy in the challenge of Mondor to communicating with a spirit in the haunted house. Perhaps even more interesting was the paranormal activity itself in origin. The haunted house was built along with the rest of the attractions, and the Challenge of Mordor was constructed in 2006. But no tragedy has occurred in the park, so where do these spirits come from? Where does this energy come from? Well, you're supposed to ask me that, Cal Panic.
Where does this energy come from?
All right, this energy comes from, in theory, but it's possible. In August 1846, Oregon settlers and Native American tribes of the Willamette Valley fought a bloody battle in present-day Salem known as Battle Creek. The Ghost Adventure team believes that the energy could be causing a manifestation in the theme park, which was built close to the proximity to the original battlefield, which makes perfect sense. If there was a very nasty conflict between settlers and the natives of the area, it is very possible that there could have been left behind a very nasty footprint. And in regard to something might be an intelligent haunting, it is very possible that something saw this haunted house attraction and thought that it would be a good place for their energy to kind of reside. I know if I was a spirit wandering about looking for a place to hang out, I'd probably hang out in a really hokey haunted house attraction too, in a very interesting looking amusement park. I think I would find great joy in scaring people on a normal basis. So it goes to the question of, all right, if someplace is haunted, but there's no tragedy that happens, can there still be a haunting?
Yeah.
And the idea is yes. an energy footprint can be left behind at any given time in any any place. When me and you leave this room right now, some of our energy is still left behind in the room, right? Who's to say that that might not turn into a residual haunting much later down the line? Maybe somebody 50, 60 years down the line is going to be walking through WJOB Studios, and they're going to see some sort of weird apparition of me just sitting here with my hand in my face laughing at Count Dracula calling in on a phone call.
You never know.
But in this case, it doesn't surprise me that there was an actual battle fought right near the park's entrance. Like I said, you have that big of an energy footprint in that short amount of time. It's very possible that they created some sort of vortex that just potent, real heavy energy. And it's very possible some of that energy could have just drifted right into the park itself.
Could be true, Bob. That could be very true.
Yes.
Got to take that in consideration.
What's your thoughts on the story so far, Compa?
Well, haunted amusement parks do strike me as a curious thing because I always wonder, if I'm at a theme park or amusement park, boy, what's the history behind this? Is this place haunted? So far, Bob, what I'm gathering from the story is this place definitely, definitely has something eerie going on with it.
However, if you ask Roger,
yeah,
if the park is haunted, he'll give you a different answer.
Say no?
Yeah.
Wonder why.
The only strange experience I've had in the park are the strange ideas that come to my head on what to create next, he explained to the Ghost Adventures team. When asked if he believes in ghosts, he says, not really, with a laugh. Haunted or not, the Enchanted Forest is truly a one-of-a-kind experience that should be on any Oregon's native or visitor's bucket list. And that comes to us written from Katrina Natris from theculturetrip.com, where they talk about the story of the Enchanted Forest, and the Zach Bagans episode of Ghost Adventures. Now, ask me, am I going to recommend watching the episode of Ghost Adventures?
Do you recommend it, Bob?
I do, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is just a quick thing, and I'm not 100% Zach is a very important figure in the world of the paranormal. Fact, right? And Zach's show is very entertaining. I've known people that have worked on the show and have told me stuff about the show and behind the scenes, etc., but I digress. So you kind of watch Zach's episodes because there's certain locales that he goes to that are interesting. And it's like, Can there actually be a ghost that's haunting this place? One that comes to mind is when Zach last Halloween went and visited, Joe Exotic.
Okay, yeah.
He went to Joe Exotic's alligator farm in Florida.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an episode. So you watch Zach to go investigate these really interesting locales, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, yes, you're going to get a cool, like, glimpse of this really, like, strange, exciting amusement park after hours when there's supposedly weird ghosts hanging out in the haunted house. Again, you go into it with what you will. It's a Zach Bagans investigative show.
Yeah, of course.
And I'll recommend it. I want children and I, if you guys are looking for something to watch, it's available on Discovery Plus, which I highly recommend you subscribe to it. Discovery, if you're looking to sponsor Paranormal Podcast, let me know. I could throw up an affiliate link. Not that big of a deal.
You know, Bob, sometimes, to me, you know what the scariest part of a theme park is?
Of any theme park. What's the scariest bit of any theme park?
The lines.
Yeah. Are Indiana Beach's lines compared? Like,
no,
I remember as a kid, they were never that bad.
No, not bad.
No.
Again, this year, I know there's a whole revamping of the park.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more crowded, but in general, they're nothing compared to those Disney lines, because those Disney lines, our Six Flags lines, will take you about maybe an hour to get through some of those lines.
1 hour?
1 hour.
I've seen it much worse than that.
A couple
I've
hours,
of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not about to go stand in no heat like that. That would be miserable.
No, Indiana Beach, you're pretty much you're on the rides in a matter of moments.
But I digress.
Yeah.
No, you were down there. We have a caller.
I was down there.
We have a caller.
Yes.
Just take it live.
We'll take it live? Okay, let's take it live
right now. That's the risk we run in live radio,
right,
folks.
Let's see what it is.
It's 10:12 at night. Listener, don't speak, because I'm going to assume you're Jack.
You're wrong here.
Yeah, you're wrong, Bob. It's Jack.
I was right. You're wrong, Cal. Why are you saying I'm wrong,
Because you,
Jack?
You were wrong last time. You said it was Jack. It wasn't Jack.
Well, no, I said it was Jack, and I'm right.
You're right about this time.
Oh, hi, Jack.
Oh, hi, Bob. How are you? Hi, Panic.
Hi, Jack.
What's on your mind tonight, Jack?
Jack Baggins is important in the paranormal?
Yes.
Are you sure, Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
He is a popular figure who is mainstream.
Sure. Yeah.
Jack, do either one of us have shows that last 18 seasons?
Popular, sure.
Jack, he's... He has popularized our culture in the paranormal the paranormal investigative world. He's became a superstar and a blockbuster hit, if you will.
I just feel like you're more important in the paranormal.
Oh, Jack, you're going to make me blush. Thank you very much. Listen, if one day I could even come close to Zach's popularity, I would be very thrilled.
Not about popularity, Bob. It's about importance.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I appreciate the importance comment at the end of the day. I do. That means a lot to me. But I do have to give credit where credit's due. Zach built an empire on the paranormal, and love him or hate him, he became very successful at it. You can't say that.
No, you're right about that.
Exactly. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I wanted to bring something up, though, Bob.
Sure, bring it up. Have you ever heard the story of the haunted amusement park before we move on, Jack? Before we move on to your comment?
I have not. No, okay. It was really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of it. But
of course you are. I'm just surrounded by skeptics tonight. Can I get a believer, please?
Well, that kind of leads into what I was going to say, Bob.
Okay, go on.
So, Bob, you and I have had discussions about the paranormal, you know, and you know, it's no secret how I feel about things. I do believe in many or even maybe even most of the aspects of the paranormal, but I do take a skeptical approach to a lot of things as well. And I wouldn't even know. I don't even know if I would even call it a skeptical approach, but just. Yeah, I guess skeptical approach. But just, you know, I have a degree in anthropology, and I really try to have a scientific mind when I go about this stuff.
Oh no, that's the way you should go about it.
I think that's important and stuff. So I try not to lean either way. I try not to lean towards believer or skeptic. Having said that, you know, my stance on a lot of the equipment that's used in the paranormal is, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about them. You know, the EMF meters, that SBS, you know, and all the various equipment. And I've used it too. I use it a lot, but you know, I get a little skeptical about it. However, I was doing a tour just a few days ago, and in the middle of the tour, we pulled out the ghost box. And I know you know what a ghost box is, but just in case any of the listeners don't, the ghost box it basically just scans through radio frequencies, you know, either AM or FM, and it just like a quick scan, so you just get one word here, one word there, etc. And the idea is that, you know, ghosts are able to manifest through the electromagnetism. So they'll latch on to one of those channels, and, you know, when you ask a question, they'll latch on to one of the channels and utter a word through, you know, the radio frequency. You know how it works, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I tend to not be sure of how I feel about that, but so we pulled it out during the tour. And we turned it on, and, you know, I explained to everybody what it does. And so, you know, we began to ask questions. And we were getting some interesting responses, you know, but, you know, I mean, you know, nothing solid, right? And there was this girl, this young girl on the tour. And then she goes, if you're here with us, say the word potato. And gosh darn it, Bob, I swear this thing said potato. You know, and it was very clear. I mean, it's not like, oh, I think I heard potato. No, it was very clear. I mean, it was the word potato. There was no question about it. And everybody just like, there was about 10 of us there. Everybody just gasped. And then like some people threw their hands in the air and like turned around like, what the heck? And then I was like, whoa, what just happened? You know, Bob, it's little things like that I love that just bring me back to the paranormal. You know, it's, I don't know what the heck that was. I don't know how that happened. I mean, you could say, oh, you know.
I know exactly what happened. It's called a microclimate.
Right, microclimate.
Pat's just shot awake in bed and said that was a microclimate.
Yeah, oh, I know he did. He's dialing right now.
Yeah, he's dialing right now.
But you know, you know what I'm saying? It's coincidence or not. It's things like that that just make you think. You know, just make you think, like, what's going on here? You know, is there such thing as more than a coincidence? You know, what synchronicities are taking place that are trying to communicate with us? So I wanted to share that with you because I just thought it was such a great experience, you know.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing the potato story. That's incredible. I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing that with me, Jack.
Yeah, no problem. Can I plug in? Can I plug something real quick?
That'll be $5.
Okay.
I'm joking. Plug. No. Plug it. You're fine. I'm just screwing around.
I know. You're kidding. So, for the listeners and Bob. Of course, you're invited, and Panic, you're invited. I'm doing a Chicago haunted pub crawl on Saturday, July 10th at 8:30. You could find the details on the Facebook group Paranormal Chicago. But yeah, I just wanted to invite you.
8:30 in the morning?
8:30 in the morning. No, 8:30 p.m.
Okay, thank you. I was about to say, I've had... That would be a new one for me, starting my pub crawl drinking at 8:30 in the morning.
Why not?
I can see the gears turning. No. Let me stop both of you. Before anybody starts getting those ideas, I see the gears turning across the glass from me in Panic's head.
I'm just saying,
I am not doing a pub crawl at 8:30 in the morning.
Start in the morning.
I refuse.
Start it in the morning.
8:30 in the morning it is.
All right.
I'll change the time right now.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Jack. We appreciate you as always.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, take care. I think somebody tried to call.
It was a dial tone, so I don't know.
Okay, you could try to call back. I'll stay. We'll do our final words. If you want to call in, we'll be live.
Is somebody there? You
want
to take it live and see what happens?
Or somebody? Yeah, take it live.
All right.
Is somebody there?
Yes. Hey, Panic. This is Elliot from ACG Paranormal.
Elliot.
Oh, hey, Elliot.
Yes.
You're on the air.
How are you, Bob?
I'm doing
good.
You
said you wanted to have someone who wasn't a skeptic.
I was surrounded by skeptics tonight, Elliot, so I appreciate hearing a believing voice.
Well, I can tell you for a fact.
Fact.
I had a door open and close itself and slam itself in front of me, like, less than a week ago.
Where were you at?
So, we were at an asylum in Indiana.
That's it. Well,
we're at in Indiana. That's the home state. That's the home base, if you will.
We were at Randolph County.
I have no idea where that's at. Where's Randolph County?
It's over by the Ohio border.
Oh, so that's a hike.
Same state, just a little further.
That's a little further. But I appreciate hearing some words of belief. It's good.
No
I got people telling me about skeptics and people telling me about microclimates. It's nice to hear from a believer, Elliot.
Anytime, Bob.
Hey, you want to plug your paranormal outfit real quick while you're on the show to the millions of Bob After Dark fans? Go plug it.
We are ACG Paranormal, and we are under ACG Paranormal on pretty much all platforms. Our main videos are on TikTok right now. We're working on getting our YouTube up and going, but we're on Facebook, Instagram, anything you can search, for us on. We're probably on it.
That's great. And you are you guys got a team that does these investigations.
Yep. Excellent. I'm the founder and one of the leaders. I'm the main tech.
And you're if I may dive a little bit into it, it's a husband wife team, right?
Yeah.
Now see, I love paranormal. Yes, I love paranormal family affairs. It's great. 10 out of 10.
Thank you, Bob.
Absolutely. Thanks for being a listener, Elliot. It means a lot to me.
No problem. You have a nice night, man.
All right, thank
you. I'm gonna hop back on.
Yep.
How about that?
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Now, Count Panic, before we call it a night, what's your final take on the Enchanted Forest?
I would check it out, Bob, again.
Let's put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
We'll get there.
But, you know, when I was a kid, I always thought at Disney World, the Haunted Mansion was the actual Haunted Mansion.
Uh-huh.
Because they were always looking for one more ghost.
Yeah, you get the hitchhikers at the end.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good tagline, though, right? They were always looking for one more.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I happen to be a big fan of the Haunted Mansion lore and ride. It's a lot of fun.
Is it true that it's really haunted, though?
You could find that out.
Oh.
In the Haunting from Worlds of Disney episode on right. Bob After Dark, okay. You found wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, take it back to this episode. I believe the park is haunted, Bob.
You believe so?
I want to believe.
I'm going to stand on a skeptical front.
All right.
I think it's a good story.
You were just talking about believers now.
I'm not saying I'm totally skeptical. I'm not saying I'm totally skeptical, but there is some weird happening at that place, and I'm just interested to know what's kicking around and if that battlefield has anything to do with it.
Well, I guess time will tell.
Yes. Count Panic, do you have any closing words for the audience tonight?
I'm trying to prepare my closing words. Well, remember, once again, Facebook Live. You guys want to hop on Jed TV. We are always there. $5.99 a month. Again, not shaking anybody down. We're still free on AM 1230, 104.7 FM, AM 1230. Don't forget the TuneIn app, always free there. The podcast is always free as well. So many options to enjoy Bob After Dark here. And then, you know, Bob, the show continues on. The show marches on.
Folks, thank you for making the live stream what it has been for the past couple of years. It's been a lot of fun. And now we move on to a brand new world and some undiscovered territory.
Braving new territory.
Yes. And we're going to march on and figure out what's next for Bob After Dark as we have started with the program and we keep marching onward.
Boldly going where no man has gone before.
No podcaster. I'm sure every podcaster has gone before.
Oh, possibly so, but. Always available everywhere, Bob. Always
and Count Panic will come up with a nice way of showing our fans how you could still enjoy Bob After Dark, the live version, for free.
Of course. I'll type one out. I have to watch the video myself, and then I'll type it out for you guys.
Thank you. All right, folks. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.